Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog, which we will link below. Now, Mark, quick recap of the Fed statement this week and Jerome Powell's press conference. The Fed really just drove home the point that they will be hiking rates in March. They're avoiding the whole conversation of what they're going to do with their balance sheet because it sounds like they want to see just how the rate hiking cycle, and that's what it sounds like it will be, a slow process here, how that's going to be taken by markets and how some of the data that they're looking at, sounds like a lot of inflation data that they're looking at, is going to change throughout this year. We can guess and forecast all we want where this data is going, but let's talk about right here, right now. The Fed looks like they're going to be hiking rates starting in March. What were some of your takeaways from that Fed meeting this week?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to just note that when the difference between the Fed statement and what Powell says, the statement was as expected. Like you said, March rate hike, some indication that the balance sheet's going to shrink later this year. And that was pretty much what people expected. But what really happened, what really triggered the market reaction, because initially the stock market bounced. It traded higher on the statement, sort of a as-expected statement. Powell, though, made it clear that no options were taken off the table. This would include, then, faster rate hikes, which mean rate hikes at back-to-back meetings, something the Fed has not been doing in past cycles. Second thing it means is that the Fed could extend the hikes. And to me, the important takeaway was Powell saying that if he got a chance to redo his dot plot from December, he would have raised his inflation forecast. And the Fed also, he said the Fed could also bring forward, quicken the pace of letting the balance sheet roll off. And so basically, it seemed to me the Federal Reserve was saying something like this: things are uncertain out there. And because of that uncertainty, we need to maintain the most amount of flexibility. But it's not just flexibility for the sake of flexibility, because he says, by the way, we think the economy is strong, we think the labor market's robust, and we think that prices are well above what we want them to be. And so the market takeaway from this is the market's pricing in right now about a one in five chance of a 50 basis point hike in March. And they've got not just the three rate hikes that were priced, that the Fed signaled in December, but they've got four hikes and about an 80% chance of a fifth hike. So the market's anticipating very, what historically would be regarded as as aggressive Fed tightening.
Well, Mark, one of the interesting observations is that when they telegraphed the rate hikes pretty clearly, and everybody knew they were speeding up the tapering to get started on the rate hiking cycle, but as far as letting the balance sheet you reduce and letting some of those assets just expire and reducing down the liquidity, that seems to have thrown the markets into a bit of a tizzy. And we've seen a lot of different sectors just across the board take a hit, and they haven't even gotten started on the rate hikes yet. Do you think that the Fed is monitoring just all the volatility that they have already seen even before they even started? And could that put a wet blanket on trying to start with too aggressive a rate hike coming out of the gates?
I think, somebody asked Powell this, because this also gets to the idea of the so-called Fed put, meaning that the Fed would ease if the stock market sells off hard. Powell said that they watch the stock market, but only as part of their overall reading about financial conditions. I think that Powell seemed to me, when he said in his assessment of how the Fed's been communicating, he thought that the Fed's communication is good, meaning the market understood what the Fed was saying, and he specifically cited that the market was pricing in four rate hikes instead of three that the Fed had expected in December. And so I think that we should not expect the Fed. I mean, I think that a March rate hike is a done deal, as done as these deals as these things can be. I think that to launch a cycle with 50 basis points would be a bold move. I think it's unlikely, but I would say it's possible. I think that the real challenge is going to be that the market thinks, recalls what happened in the past cycle, and that is that because of the economy slowing down, not because of equity market volatility, the economy slowing down, it really prevents the Fed from raising the Fed funds rate to what it thinks is the long-term equilibrium level. I think the market thinks that the Fed funding rate, which today, like you say, they haven't begun raising rates yet, and we'll go from about, which is at about 8 basis points in the market right now, that they're going to go to about 150 to 175 basis points in this cycle. And I think that the market thinks that by that time, the economy would be slowing down and that the Fed will have to stop raising rates before it gets to, say, 2%.
So, Mark, look, it kind of makes sense that the markets would correct before or during a tightening cycle because of how these markets were pumped up by so much free money and that money that just eventually lands in the markets. But then the question is, where is that equilibrium? How much do the markets need to correct to get down to maybe a more reasonable level? I know that is open for discussion. But how much will the Fed withstand in terms of market pullbacks before they switch course? Any general levels that you're at least thinking?
Well, I think that it would have to be accompanied by other things. If it's just like what we're seeing where, the NASDAQ is off, approached 20% with pullback, yeah?
Yeah, actually, just short of 20%.
And so my sense is, that the that it hasn't been so disruptive. That is, we've seen a stock market sell-off. We've seen the a correction in the Dow. This is twice as much as the NASDAQ. And I think that it hasn't really coincided with a big sell-off in bonds or a big rally in bonds. We're sitting here today, 183 or so on our 10-year bond. The two-year has risen, of course, and that's partly reflecting the more aggressive Fed stance people expect. But so far, I'd say, despite how choppy it's been, it's really been painful. Huh? This week, it's almost like these little head fakes where we sell off in the morning. It takes us all day to rally back, and then the next day it's like it sells off again. It's almost like that Sisyphus myth of in ancient Greece about the guy who rolls the rock up the hill, and every day it rolls back down. He's got to begin again. So I think that we'll have to watch it. It is scary. I mean, just how sudden and sharp it's been, and how volatile it's been. But I think that we're going to see buyers come in because I think that a lot of the probable bad news coming from the Fed is known. But people think they know it. If the market's pricing in five hikes, there's four hikes, almost five hikes this year. Are they going to do 10 hikes? No. How much are they going to do? So I think at some point a lot of the news becomes factored in, and then we have to wait for the news to become confirmed.
Well, Mark, you mentioned, it's kind of the short end of the curve and possibly the yield curve flattening. Are they at risk of maybe even doing a policy error where we invert the yield curve, which could be a precursor to a recession? We've already talked about what happens when energy prices double, and we're already looking at some people considering slower growth forecasts for this year. Is it possible that this actually triggers a recession a year from now?
So for me, the Fed really mismarketed talking about inflation being transitory. It should have led with growth is going to be transitory. And I think for me, this is the real story. This is why I think that we're not getting such a backing up in interest rates, given the aggressiveness of the Fed, and why the yield curve is flattening. The market's saying that the economy is not going to be able to stand it. For me, this is the, when we talked earlier about why the Fed was still buying mortgage-backed securities when we learned this week house prices are up 18% year over year in the U.S., and how they could be buying inflation-protected securities. I think I compared it with the butcher with his thumb on the scale because they were telling us what the market was telling them about inflation after they bought those inflation-protected securities. So I think the Fed waited too long, and I think part of it is that policy now is going to be pro-cyclical. It's moving in the same direction as the economy. Well, it's best if it moves in the opposite direction. So the economy is going to be slowing. I know this Q4 GDP we saw, 6.9%. Powell already warned us at the press conference that a sharp slowdown is here in Q1. So the economy bounces back in Q2. So I'm thinking the second half of this year is going to be a much more challenging time. And I think that a year from now, we're going to be looking at less than 3% growth. So I don't know if it's a recession, but I think the growth slowdown will be such that it will also take off some of the pressure off prices. And I think that it will also lead the Fed to stop its tightening.
Mark, are you looking to any other countries as a barometer of where economic data is going, where inflation is going, or are you simply focusing on the U.S. data?
Well, for the Fed and for the dollar, I typically focus on the U.S., but I think you're right that, next week we're going to see we've got three central banks meeting, and I'd say it's almost like that story about the three bears. So you got the ECB, who's not going to do anything. They're still going to be talking about the transitory nature of inflation, partly because their January inflation is likely to decline a little bit. The RBA meets, the Reserve Bank of Australia meets, and they're sort of like the mama bear in the story, is that in this case, in Australia, the market's been pushing for a rate hike. The RBA has been saying no, not until 2023. And we think that the Reserve Bank of Australia will soften up its stance a little bit. It'll talk about the end of QE early next month, and it will allow for possibility of a rate hike should the economic conditions allow later this year. And that brings us to the Bank of England, which is the last bear, and that is going to be very hawkish. They're going to raise rates, and they're likely to confirm that their balance sheet will begin shrinking as of next month, as of March. So they meet in early February, the balance sheet can begin shrinking in March.
Well, I appreciate that three bears breakdown there, Mark. That is that's a pretty good analogy for the other world central banks. I know you follow the currency markets pretty closely. What do you make of the recent dollar strength in reaction to all this news? And do you think it has further to run, as some are pontificating, that it actually could break out now as a safe haven bid? Or do you think it's topping out for an eventual rollover?
Yeah, so I'd say yes. That is to say, right, that I think the dollar index has more upside room. I'm looking at on the dollar index itself, 97.70. That's my next target. That's also a key retracement of the big sell-off we had since March of 2020. So I think that, of course, the more aggressive Fed stance has triggered a big short covering move in the dollar. Think about what happened. Begin the year with a dollar rallying against the yen. You get to well above 116, and it proves to be a head fake. So the market concludes, short-term momentum traders say, okay, if the dollar is going to be weak, maybe we should buy the euro. And they pushed the euro out of a 112, 114 trading range for the first time in like 3 or 4 months. Lo and behold, that turns out to be a head fake. And so now we got the dollar moving in the other direction, maybe an upside breakout. And so I know a lot of short-term traders, they're trying to pick a top here to the dollar. And part of the logic is, you look at these Bollinger Bands, which are two standard deviations around the 20-day moving average. And on several of the currencies are beyond their Bollinger Bands. And so to me, if I had to give you one big picture idea here, it'd be the Australian dollar. So today, Friday, ahead of the weekend, staying almost the entire session below its lower Bollinger Band. It would be the second consecutive close below its lower Bollinger Band. Sounds very bearish. And that's what a lot of retail people might think. But those retail people, I want to tell you, we know from the futures positioning that they have nearly a record short Aussie position on. The last time that the Aussie finished 2 days in a row below its lower Bollinger Band was a low, not a high. It proceeded to rally 4 or 5 cents. This was back in August. So I think that if I was going to try to pick a top to the dollar here, I'd probably go long the Australian dollar. That said, I think that in the big picture, I'm still bullish on the dollar broadly. I think that this is a big shift in psychology, and a lot of people were caught leaning the wrong way.
All right, Mark. Always good comments, buddy. Interesting to see or hear how you are, or your outlook for the Fed, for some of that economic data, and some of those currency comments. Always interesting to hear what the currency markets are telling us as well. Either way, we're starting off this week definitely on, or starting off this year on a bit of a different foot than we did for the prior year. And we don't know where the bottom's going to be in some of these markets. And a lot of that also depends on how far the Fed is going to get with this rate hiking cycle. Mark, great chatting with you as always, man. We'll chat again next week. I'm sure there'll be plenty for us to talk about as, well, these markets undoubtedly are going to remain quite volatile. Mark, thanks again for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot. Good luck to everybody.